Okay, we call to order the council meeting for July 22nd. If everybody would stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Remain standing for prayer.
Dear Lord, bless the decisions of this body. Guide us now and in the future as well. Amen.
Okay, can we have roll call?
Mayor.
Here.
Mr. Brink.
Here.
Mr. Brown.
Here.
Mr. Chatten.
Here.
Mr. Attorney.
I'm here.
Mr. Clark.
Here.
Mrs. Rose.
Here.
Mr. Salters.
Here.
Mr. Sebring.
Here.
Move on to adoption of the agenda.
Make a motion to, did you want to add something to the agenda, Scott?
Yes, we need on, on F, we need to add the appointment to the Police Merit Commission.
Now I'll make a motion to accept the agenda.
Second.
A motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Chatten to accept the revised agenda.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink.
Yes.
Mr. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Chatten.
Yes.
Mr. Clark.
Yes.
Mrs. Rose.
Yes.
Mr. Salters.
Yes.
Mr. Sebring.
Yes.
Agenda is accepted with a 7-0 vote. Now I need a motion. If you've, everybody's had a chance to read the minutes from the July 8th meeting, a motion to approve.
Make a motion to accept the minutes.
Second.
And a motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Sebring.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink.
Yes.
Mr. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Chatten.
Yes.
Mr. Clark.
Yes.
Mrs. Rose.
Yes.
Mr. Salters.
Yes.
Mr. Sebring.
Yes.
The July 8th minutes are approved by a vote of 7-0. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances.
Hey, just want to remind everybody the 4-H fair has started. We will be crowning a queen in about 50 minutes from now. So good luck to, I believe there's 9 of them participating this year. So good luck to all the 4-H'ers.
Okay, I think Dan has our United Way.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council, as a board member of the Knox County United Way, the city's been asked to be a pace setter for this year's United Way campaign. And what that means is that we will need to run our citywide campaign before everyone else this year. Not everyone else, because in addition to the city being a pace setter, Old National Bank and the Knox County United Way Board of Directors themselves are pace setters for this year. And there will be a kickoff meeting on Wednesday morning, August 28th, at Green Activity Center, 7 o'clock. You're all invited to a great breakfast. And that at that time, the checks, the large prop checks, will be presented to the entire audience, showing how much the city employees have pledged for the 2013 campaign. Also for the how much ONB has pledged for that next campaign. And as far as much as the Knox County United Way Board of Directors has pledged. So what I would like to do, I have some pledge cards and information for each of you. I'd like to distribute those to you tonight. Ask you to consider donating to the Knox County United Way, and that way we will show the city of Vincennes that the city of Vincennes is a leader in pledges and a pace setter. Could I distribute them to you now?
And just so you know, this is, can be deducted through payroll.
Thank you.
Anything else? If not, we'll move on to committee reports. Public Safety, Councilman Chapman.
No report.
Environmental Management, Councilman Clark.
Yeah, we did have a solid waste meeting this morning, and kind of a short meeting it was. Of course, we paid our bills, and I want to remind you, too, that the the fair is underway up at Bicknell. And and like I said, we did pay our bills and everything, so I wanted to remind you to attend the fair up there. There'd be lots of things going on, and they were talking about the queen crowning tonight. Was it tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
7 p.m.
Huh?
7 p.m.
I don't think I'll make it.
No.
My car is slow.
Okay, thank you, Councilman. Budget and Finance, Councilman Brown.
No report.
Planning, Zoning, Community Development, Councilman Brink.
No report.
Tourism, Promotion of the City, President Rose.
Just to say that we had the grand opening of the Red Skelton Museum this weekend, and it was very well attended. I think they had over 800 people there, and it was a grand opening.
Thank you. Legislative Review, Councilman Sebring.
No report.
City Services, Councilman Salters.
No report.
Moving on, any report of city officers? Being none, there is no old business, so we'll move to new business. First up is Ordinance 14-2013, reauthorization of the CCD fund.
Make a motion to have first reading on Ordinance 14-2013.
Second.
Got a motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Brown for first reading of Ordinance 14-2013.
Ordinance 14-2013, an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, to be authorized the Cumulative Capital Development Fund.
Let the record show that we did have a public hearing at 5:55. We had two people to speak in favor of the ordinance.
Any discussion?
We do have Ben here from Coonrod and Company, and he would like to go over a few things with us if we have more questions or. And I have copies of the ordinance if anybody would like to see it.
Ben Rager, CLC Services again. Kind of just piggyback on what we talked about during the public hearing. The Cumulative Capital Development Fund can be used for street repairs, it can be used for sewers, and it can be used for purchase buildings. So there's among other things. The way it works as far as revenue for the city, it would increase the property tax levy in 2014 by $150,000 approximately. It would also increase your COWIT and CEDIT revenue by approximately $25,000 a year beginning in 2015. Where this fund currently is, the rate is less than one-third of what the state would allow the rate to be. The rate has decreases over the years as property values increase, which is different than your property taxes for your other funds, which generally increase. That's not the case with the CCD fund. Your rate actually decreases unless you reestablish it each year. Whereas with your general fund, your maximum levy actually goes up by about 2.6% each year, regardless of whether or not you reestablish anything for your general fund. The effect on taxpayers, for those that don't have homestead properties, if they have rental properties, agricultural land, or business property, there will be no increase in their taxes as a result of reestablishing the CCD fund rate. As far as homeowners go, those homeowners that was living in the city, paying the city fire tax rates, homeowners with property values $88,000 above will not see an increase in taxes as a result of reestablishing the CCD fund rate. But homeowners with property values less than $88,000 will potentially see an increase in taxes paid as a result of reestablishing the CCD fund rate. However, I also want to add, though, if you do, just because the taxes for the people making less than 80, or just because the taxes on homes valued at less than $88,000 may increase, they're not going to pay more than somebody whose homestead's at above $88,000 or the higher threshold. So I wanted to add that for the.
And the reason for that differential is the cap.
That's correct, cap. Yes.
It's
yes.
Not something we created.
No, it's no. No, it's nothing you created, yes. Yes.
In the documents you've given us, the example of someone who owns a home with a market value of $60,000, the impact of this, if we adopt this, would be $4.35 annually. Is that what I understand?
That's correct.
And this really isn't in the form of a question, but if this money is used for roads, I would suggest that $4.35 or even $8 is far less than a wheel alignment or losing a hubcap in a pothole, which are all likely events. So it's, I think, a good investment for people.
What we're projected to get from the increases, you know, the 150, 160, the 25, 30, those pretty solid. I know that we've got, like, you know, you've got all these different exemptions, you've got the different caps. I'm just curious how, like, we get to that number. Like, how is that calculated? How do we get to these final 150, 160, the 25 and 30 with all the difference? The differences, you know, and you know, property values of everybody throughout this county and the different exemptions that different people will get, you know, fire district and not. It's just a curiosity of mine.
Okay. Well, for the property tax levy, that's pretty solid that it will increase by $150,000 to $160,000. That's different from the revenue. Maybe I should have clarified that earlier. Revenue, property taxes, maybe closer to $100,000 and not the I probably should have clarified that, not the 150 increase. Your levy will still increase by 150, but the property tax revenue may be only $100,000. But the COET and CDIT numbers are pretty solid, those increases.
So it's not as much as we went from 150 to 100,000.
That's just the increases.
That we will see.
Yes, it'll be the tax levy will increase by 150, but the revenue you receive may be only closer to $100,000 on top of what you're receiving now. So your revenue is not going down, it's still increasing.
Okay. Assuming that the money is used for roads, and I think it's most of the most of us would agree that's where the need is. Could you speak to the larger context of this, the decline that local governments have seen due to people buying more fuel-efficient vehicles and also driving fewer miles? Local governments are receiving less money than they used to from the state.
The way that most of your road money comes from is based on a gasoline tax, and that's on a per mile, a per gallon sold basis. So as people are buying the more fuel-efficient cars, they're spending less money on gasoline, which is decreasing the revenue for the local governments for the street and road improvements. So whereas they're still having an increase, still need to repair the roads, they're having less revenue in order to do that.
In section 5 of this ordinance, and I think Mr. Shelton did point this out, it says that this funds can be used for roads, sidewalks, sewers, and bridges, among other things. I guess I'd like to ask the council members how they feel about this. Do you want that to stay like it is, or do you want it to read streets?
Well, let me ask a related question. The money that goes into this fund and accumulates, in order for it to be spent, it comes back to this body to appropriate. So ultimately, we have control on how it is spent, so we can have control at the point of appropriation, or I assume a second reading or third reading, we could amend it to restrict it to that. But either way, the council controls how the money will be spent. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, that's correct.
Ode Hall, 1406 Ministry again. On section 5, where it mentions the sewers and bridges, as Mr. Shelton said, you know, bridges are maintained by the county and the state. It says sewers and whatever, or basically whatever, on the address that you want to use that for. And since we already have a USB board that's doing a very good job, and we already have our stormwater fees, we already have this. I do believe that the sewers and et cetera should be scratched from that, and therefore, where section 5 would read, that used for street sidewalks, curbs, sidewalks only. If at some point in time in the future that you would already have your roads done, or you get plenty of money, you get all the streets done you want to do, then you can always come back and amend and readdress this. And the reason I say this is because everybody's aware of how county commissioners been pushing for a wheel tax. And since on the wheel tax, we only get 18 cents back on the dollar. If we pay, one of the main reasons I'm supporting this is because although it's going to raise my property tax, I'm probably four or five of you up there, I'm willing to pay that to get our city streets done. And that is one of the main reasons I would support this. Other than that, I can't see the citizens wanting to see that money spent somewhere else. And the reason I bring it up is because you people are here now, and you people say you want to use it on the road, but what about councils in the future? So if you don't have a stipulation of some type, how this is used, any council can come back and change this, or just come back and pass the appropriation regardless. Whereas if you stipulated in there, then there would have to be a change in the ordinance or an amendment of some type.
And how easy is that?
Us.
And how easy is that?
Pardon?
And how easy is that? It's pretty simple. You know, as needs change over time, so does our focus of our money. And I'm not disagreeing whatsoever that it, our roads are in deplorable shape. You're not going to get an argument out of me. But I am concerned that our overall general fund is also going down rapidly. And I worry that if we hamstring future committees, future people up here, that that's probably not a good thing. We don't even have a clue in the world yet what that levy is going to cost us. And our priorities may change pretty daggone quickly if we get a $3, $5, $10 million bill on that. I do worry about that. I got to be real honest. Although I love my road to be paved, I'd love it, love it, love it. I love every 88 miles that we have in the city. I want every 88 miles paved. But the levy comes first. And I'm just saying, as future priorities change, I don't want to hamstring an administration or a council down the road. I don't disagree with you that the roads need to be a priority. I don't disagree with you at all. I think we're on the same page on that one. I do worry about changing this ordinance around to meet that.
Put a levy into a stormwater drain, you make 4 or 5 points, and they're valid. But that's what we have the USB board for. Mr. Bruce, you're doing a fine job. We have a stormwater fee. We know, all of us, that there's going to probably be something else we'll have to pay on this. But I believe they are working right now, getting every dollar they can. I believe he's coming tonight.
Absolutely.
To get some more.
Absolutely.
So I believe that would be taken care of. All I'm saying is for the citizens of this community to be assured that there's not being a slush fund created. Then you put in there that this is for streets, curbs, sidewalks. I believe that would be an advantage. It'd be a great thing for the city. I forget what the other thing you addressed.
Well, I'm sure you don't mean to say that.
Budget. Okay, that's where we pay the property tax that you receive there, is for you to run this city with that property tax. You know, we trust you with that. We can trust you with this if you'll stipulate that in Section 5. Thank you.
I don't know how the other members feel, but like the way the Section 5 was written, I feel it's almost kind of pointless where it just says, well, yeah, it may be used for this. And then, you know, if there's other things that come up, there's other things that come up. So, I mean, we all know that, you know, there's priorities that we're going to have to face as a council. And as a group, we're going to face those. You know, I would, you know, favor more of like in our budgetary process when we're doing that, we set aside a bigger chunk there,
yeah,
in that process than in just a certain rate that this can only go to that, because we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I'd love to be able to predict the future, but I can't. And that's just my two cents about that.
Two quick points I would make. The language of what the CCD fund can be used for, that is right out of state statute. That's not something that we inserted in there. I don't think any of us lobbied that.
It's my understanding that wasn't a
Did you write that?
And once again, the council will control that, and I think most of us have voiced, So,
right.
And the other point I'd bring up, if we start restricting this too much, is that if you have a major street redevelopment, oftentimes sewers are an integral part of the redevelopment of a street. I mean, unless you're just talking about slapping down another inch of asphalt, if you're talking about a reconstruction of the street, which we may be in this, then sewers are certainly a part of that. So, I think we're all on the same page on this in terms of priorities, but, you know, I can come up with a dozen scenarios that we would all hope wouldn't happen, but let's say we couldn't pay firefighters and we're going to have to lay off a good chunk of the fire department, we may be scrambling for all kinds of different funds to draw on, that at that point, we would hope we didn't have this restriction in there that tied our hands. I think that's the reason the state provided this latitude.
When you redo streets and curbs and everything, your sewer outlets and inlets from the road right there, that automatically comes right in with the same wastewater and city waste sewer should be stipulated.
Well, I mean, someone has to pay that. But someone has to pay that, so I just think that I think it would be difficult to craft an amendment that would address that, but I could be wrong. Maybe someone could craft that language, but it's really not at this stage. We don't amend it at first reading, so we're a little ahead of the cart ahead of the horse.
Well, at this point, do we even have time to amend it? We've got 9 days to meet the deadline.
Yes, this is not due until August the 2nd. Is that right, Ben?
10 days.
So we could actually have another meeting on next Monday to have second and third reading.
Any other discussion?
Mr. Brink?
Kind of hard for a question here.
Huh?
Kind of hard for a question here, isn't it?
Yes, it'd be very difficult. I'm going to say no at this point.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Mrs. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
No.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, first reading of ordinance 14-2013 passes with a 5-2 vote. Next up is ordinance 15-2013, waterworks utility insurance and sale of bonds.
No, I wouldn't wobble on that.
Make a motion to read ordinance 15-2013.
Second.
Got a motion by President Rowe, second by Councilman Chatton to read ordinance 15-2013.
This is ordinance 15-2013, an ordinance concerning acquisition, construction, and improvement of the City of Vincennes of its waterworks utility, the issuance and sale of bond anticipation notes to provide interim financing and pay the cost thereof, the issuance and sale of revenue bonds to pay the cost thereof, the collection of revenues utility, refunding of its waterworks revenue bonds of 2003, the safeguarding of the owners' revenue bonds and other matters connected therewith, repealing ordinance. In many pages. I'm done.
Your turn.
My name's Kirk Bushy, general manager of the Water and Wastewater Utilities with the Utility Services Board. I do live in the city, 1622 Montclair Drive. I don't know if I'm supposed to address on that or not, but we're here. I'm here today representing the Utility Services Board and our both water and sewer. We're talking about water right now on this particular deal. They're very similar. Both issues are very similar. With me today is Jennifer Wilson with Crow Harwith. They have been our longtime financial consultants for the going back even when it was just the Vincennes Water Department back in the 80s and early 90s. Also with us is Sue Beasley, a partner with Bingham, Greenbaum, and Dahl, and they will be acting as our legal counsel and bond counsel on these debt refinancings. As all of you may know, about 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago, is when there were some significant financial changes made to the water and sewer departments with some major upgrades that were done at the wastewater plant and the water plant. At that time, I believe on the water side, there was approximately $4.5 million borrowed for a 20-year period, and that money was used to pay for the new water tower out, storage facility out by the armory, the 2 million gallon tank. We also had a federal grant involved with that as well, but that was the primary expense. There were some upgrades to some water mains and the booster station out at Hillcrest was added at that time. So that gives you an idea of why we have some debt. Since 2002, you know, I think the water bonds were issued in 2003, if I remember right. We have reduced that debt on a regular normal basis down to currently approximately $2.9 million. The interest rates on all of our debt that was done at that time is 3.30%, and about 6 months ago we began looking at the possibility with Crow to refinance our existing debt, both on the water and the sewer, and I'll talk about the sewer when we get to that. I'll be a little more brief because a lot of the issues are exactly the same. We started talking to Crow, and they came back and recommended that to our utility services board that we consider refunding those bonds because they felt like there was a market for such short-term debt for municipality because now we're below 10 years left on the bonds. I think the water bonds pay off in mid-2023. The sewer bond pays off in January of 2022, which will be a good day. What we're asking for through this ordinance is, and it's been approved by our board, but our utility services board cannot enact ordinances. Anything to do with ordinances that have to do with us borrowing money or with us doing anything with rates has to come before you for approval. This has nothing to do with rates. This has to do with restructuring our debt. The term will stay the same. The payments will stay the same, and we will cash out about $300,000 on the water side that can be used this year for some needed projects. On the water side, and the way this works, and I'm new at a lot of this, I've not been through one of these, but the way it works is we will have the opportunity to identify some needed projects, and we have to spend the money on those projects. You can't just take this money and put it in a rainy day fund and, you know, hold it back. So as you all know, there's been discussion both at the Utility Services Board and within the community that our water facility, the drinking water facility, was built in the early 1950s. We've identified three or four major priorities out there that we need to address in the next 2 to 5 years, I'm going to say. I mean, I'm not, you know, we've been talking about it since the 1980s. So 5 years will come and go pretty quickly. But the primary, there's three components at the water department on River Road that need to be addressed. One is we have the well field plumbing. We have a great well system. It proved to pay dividends last summer, as you know, through the drought. We ran record flows through that building and through those pipes. But that main pipe, that's an 18-inch cast iron main that was put in the early 1950s. And that every ounce of water that is provided through our department to approximately 30,000 citizens of Knox County, not just Vincennes residents, but those that buy water from us through Knox County Water, every ounce goes through that 60-year-old pipe. It might last another 50 years. Something might happen tomorrow. But that's the major thing that needs to be addressed at the well field. I'm not proposing that we address that this year. A couple other things. We've been cited by IDEM probably since the 1980s about the way we're handling our chlorine and phosphate and chemical feeds. The building wasn't designed to today's standards. It was designed to 1950s standards. And we're grandfathered into that, but once we start making changes, we're going to be forced to bring that up to code. And that's the second priority. The third priority is replacement of a backup generator, a diesel-powered backup generator. The one we have now is a 1972 model. It still runs. We exercise it once a month, at least once a month. It has run during recent power outages, but the problem is it needs to be replaced. So, you know, $300,000 is not going to solve all those problems. Depending on how the board reviews and looks at, you know, do we replace the building, do we add to the building, but that's not for tonight's discussion. It has nothing to do with this financing tonight. What we are here to say is by gaining this lower interest rate, we can cash out $300,000 to do some of the things that are on the list. And the primary thing that we have decided would make most sense for us is to replace that generator. That would be our first priority, and that's going to be somewhere around $200,000. The remaining money, $100,000, will be used for some ADA and security improvements at the main water department office. We've had a security audit of those facilities, and we lacked some fire escapes, you know, in the back of the building. There's no way to get out of the back of the building should we have a problem over there, and address some customer service issues there within the physical part of the building. And then the last item on that list is the machine that sorts the bills and the envelopes and does all that is now approaching its useful life, and it's a small part of that total $300,000. So that's the story on the water. The bottom line is we can refinance the debt, get a better interest rate, save that money and use it for projects that if we did not have this opportunity, we would have to potentially raise rates to come up with the money to do the projects. So that's the story on the water. Do either one of you guys have anything to add to that? I mean, the sewer one's a little more complicated. It's exactly the same language, but the issues, the dollars involved in the projects that we're addressing are a little different. So,
is there anything about the timing of this ordinance that?
Well, you know, overall, we feel like interest rates are as good as they're going to be, you know, for the near future. The water, we can go ahead and do the refinancing this summer and finish it, you know, do the deal. On the sewer side, there's a little glitch in that our debt is with SRF, the State Revolving Loan Fund, and until the end of this year, we have is it 1%? There's a 1% prepayment penalty on the outstanding balance on the sewer. And I'll get into that when we talk about the sewer and how we're going to get around that. But, you know, we're really not interested in spending almost $200,000 of the savings paying the state a prepayment penalty. So, but I'll mention that when we get into the sewer. On the water side, you know, the timing is not as critical other than the rate environment that we're in right now, and the fact that I feel like we can get some things off the list. You know, that's pretty much what I do all day long every day is work on lists and try to figure out how we're going to get things off the list, and usually that involves how we're going to pay for them. So,
well, I personally think it's a great idea. I guess this question would be to Jennifer. Typically this is first reading night, and we'd come back at our next meeting and pass it second and third. Is there something about the bond market that we should?
Councilor Chatton, I would like to address the environment a little bit. We were all cruising along quite well with refundings all over the state there for a while, and then Mr. Bernanke, the Fed, decided to make some comments, and the market went a little bit crazy. So we are a little nervous about that. And then with the recent Detroit bankruptcy, which has absolutely nothing to do with the city of Vincennes, and it's general obligation debt, not revenue debt, but you just never know. So if the council is at all comfortable, we would like to have approvals tonight so that we can pull the trigger when the market is right. But if you're not comfortable, we understand that, and we'll wait.
Those rates have been going up pretty high, pretty quick.
Yes, we had in May, it was at a low point mm-hmm. of this year, and it has been fluctuating, and all indications in the market is that we're going to see these lulls and go up and go down, but what the market is saying is that we're expecting this to have ups and downs and quite a bit of fluctuations. Our idea here is once we have the bond ordinance in hand, we're going to solicit to interested bidders and start negotiations with the bank so that we would reach a most advantageous time for you to do the refunding. The interest rates we had projected have ranged from 2.35 up to 2.5 right now is about the 10-year treasury rate. So what we're going to do is try to get a bank interested and start negotiations with them so it's at the best timing for you.
The 10-year was at 2%, what, in May, wasn't it?
It was at a low point in May earlier this right. year. It was about 50 basis points lower, mm-hmm. so it was closer to 2% at that point in time. So it's going up and down and up and down.
Going up fast right
yes.
now. So I think we need to move on this, lock this rate in so they can get that lower interest rate.
Yes.
Kirk, if we did go ahead and suspend rules, go second and third reading
tonight,
do we need to come back at some point and do something else, or does that just fall back onto you guys, and when you see that interest rate at a peak, you pop it?
I think
okay.
that would be these guys' hell.
Right.
We'll do that.
Okay. Okay.
Well, ordinarily, it's always my inclination to do these things over two meetings, but this is a little different yeah. in that the Utility Services Board has carefully analyzed this prior to even coming to council. And in my question, I had been reading about what the municipal bond market has been doing since mm-hmm. Detroit, and it makes me a little nervous to wait. So I would be inclined to go ahead and do it tonight, unless your objection.
Just on refinancing a mortgage, the 15-year was at 2.5 in May, and now it went up to almost 3.25. It might be higher right now. So that's quite a bit in a short period of time, and it's starting to affect some refinancing nationwide. And I just think it's important that we lock this in right now. So we'll give you the latitude to pull the trigger at your discretion, because I think you probably deal with this every day.
Before we go to the question, real quickly, just, you know, thank you for all you guys for bringing that. You're going to get some money to do some much, much needed improvement in that area. So, that's it, and I'd call for the question.
Better note the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Mrs. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, first reading of Ordinance 15-2013 passes with a vote of 7-0.
Mr. Chatton, do you want to make the motion?
I would make a motion. We have second reading of Ordinance 15-2013.
Second.
The motion by...
Do we need to suspend the rules? We would need a motion to suspend the rules in order to do that, I believe.
Can you do two and then...
Oh, okay.
So do you want to amend your motion?
Let's just have a motion to suspend the rules.
Okay, suspend the rules, and you seconded.
Okay.
So call for a question on that.
First, let me say that we've got a motion by Councilman Chatton, second by Clark for second reading on Ordinance 15-2013.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatten?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Mrs. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Good.
Now I'll make a motion for second reading of ordinance 15-2013.
Second.
Motion. Motion by Councilman Chatten, second by Councilman Sebring for second reading of ordinance 15-2013.
Ordinance 15-2013, moving formal parts on waterwork planning section 1.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatten?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Mrs. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
A second reading of ordinance 15-2013 passes with a 7-0 vote.
I move that we have a third reading of ordinance 15-2013.
Second.
And a motion by Councilman Chatten, second by Councilman Brown to have third and final reading of ordinance 15-2013.
Ordinance number 15-2013, ordinance concerning the acquisition, construction, and improvement by the City of Vincennes Waterworks Utility issuing bond anticipation note, provide interim financing, it costs thereof, issuing of revenue bonds, cost of collection, new utility, funding of waterworks revenue bonds of 2003, safeguarding against owners, other matter, dealing.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatten?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Mrs. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
That was third and final reading of ordinance 15-2013, and that passes by 7-0. Next up is ordinance 16-2013, sewage works utility insurance sale of bonds.
Make a motion to have first reading on ordinance 16-2013.
Second.
Get a motion by President Rowe, second by Councilman Brink to have first reading of ordinance 16-2013.
Ordinance number 16-2013, an ordinance concerning the acquisition, construction, and improvement by the City of Vincennes Sewage Works Utility, issuance of sale of bond anticipation notes to provide interim financing, cost thereof, issuance of revenue bonds to pay the cost of collection, segregation, distribution of the revenues of the utility, the funding of its Sewage Works funding revenue bonds, bank Sewage Works revenue bonds of 2002, safeguarding of owners of revenue bonds, other dealing ordinance.
Any discussion?
I'll go ahead and try to briefly summarize what's different about this one than the other one. This is for the sewer department. Going back to the same discussion, 2002-2003 time frame, our community spent approximately $30 million upgrading the sewage works facilities as we know them today. We added at that time the storm lift station over on 12th and St. Clair. If you all remember the problems that were apparent down at 12th and St. Clair, 13th and St. Clair, that whole area of low area there and on the streets, that water still ponds there for a short time, but it goes to the river pretty quickly because of that facility that was built back in 2003 with sewer department debt. Rolling also into that project was the major lift station upgrade out on 15th, South 15th Street, what we call the Watson Avenue lift station. That was included in that $30 million, as well as some sewer main work that was done on the south end of town. that today is paying dividends for us, because it goes from the Watson lift station out to 41 on Willow Street, and that will be the route that the new industrial park customers, including Farbest, that flow will come through that those pipes that were put in back there, and that lift station that was put in back in 03. The good news is, on the sewer side, people look at me weird sometimes when I talk about this a lot, but you know, our community has reduced that investment, that debt, down from over $30 million just 10 years ago down to 17.8 now, and it's on a path to, like I said, to be paid off in I think it's January of 2022. Yeah. So that is a huge payment that we make twice a month or twice a year that will roll off. What we're asking to do today is, like on the water side, we have identified, and these are a little more urgent needs because of our new customer that we're bringing on at Farbest. The plant itself, the wastewater plant itself, let me back up. The Farbest project really involves three different pieces from our utility standpoint. One is the water line extension that's being done out there by KCDC to provide a loop service to Farbest. KCDC is paying for that with edit funds that you and the county have given them over the years. The second part of it is also involving KCDC, which is the sanitary sewer lift station upgrade there on Decker Road, right by the jail, just past the jail. It's a huge project. And then the sanitary sewer line that runs from there out to the plant. That system will serve not only Farbest, although I will call it, the Farbest project, but it's designed to handle future growth of the industrial park, as well as future growth in the outer Hart Street area, the Seavers Road area, and those residential areas out there at some point down the road. And just as a sidebar, I know at the, Board of Works today, I guess you talked about annexation as a some kind of study you were looking at. Obviously, where our facilities are and how what kind of capabilities we have plays a role in how you can go about annexing. I mean, we have to work together on those things. And a lot of this is kind of boring, mundane work, but if we can get these lift stations in position in the right places, it sure makes it a lot easier when it's time to do annexation. Now, So everything out in the field, what I call the field, is going on in partnership with KCDC. On the sewer side, over the next 4 years, we will pay KCDC back, the utility will pay KCDC back the out-of-pocket costs that they have from the sewer construction, minus the federal grant money. So we got about $1.6 million in grant monies there. So the theory here is that we didn't have the money to go front to do that whole project. We would have had to go out and borrow the money to do that. KCDC had the funds. They're doing the project. We've agreed to pay them back their edit dollars that they're spending on this through our revenues from Farbest, and it's all set up in the contract. So the last part of the Farbest story involves what we're doing here tonight, and that is some changes that we need to make. Ever since we started talking about bringing the largest customer in the history of the organization into our plant, being Farbest, and the revenue, everybody, the revenue stream's great. I mean, it could be as much as $1.5 million a year on the sewer side and $500,000 a year on the water side. I mean, this is a big water user. It's a big building. They're going to run a lot of turkeys through there. We have to be ready to take that flow on at our wastewater plant. And even though our plant is big enough, there were some components within the plant that we've worked with engineering. Josh Moore's done a great job, our plant manager, in coming up with the best scheme within the plant, not only to serve Far Best, but to have that excess capacity that we need if somebody wants to build a subdivision, or if another business comes to town. And you know, we certainly don't want to be in a position where we're on some kind of sewer ban because we used up all of our capacity with one customer, and that's not even close to being reality. So the funds that are generated from this refinancing will pay for those projects that we need to do at the wastewater plant this fall, late summer and fall. Some we're already working on, and we've identified those things. It's about $750,000 of, and it primarily involves waste storage of fluids and aeration. And if anybody wants to come out and look and see what we're talking about or how we're doing it, I'd be happy to show anybody anytime. We're pretty proud of our facilities and the way we take care of them. And we feel like for the citizens, on that day when that debt's paid off on 2022, we're not going to be sitting here looking at a pile of rubble that we got to go out and buy another wastewater plant because we ran this one until it died. So that's the goal. The rest of the money, we're creating about $1 million in funds from this activity on the sewer side. 750 or so will go toward the improvements at the plant. The other 250 roughly will go toward our match for the River Road sanitary sewer relocation, where we got a federal or a state grant from OCRA on that project, which will begin shortly this summer. And that's the deal where we're moving the line that was put in the toe of the Brevoort levee back in 1982. We're moving it across the street, getting away from the levee per the requirements of the Corps of Engineers. So that's what that funds. The sewer, we cannot pull the trigger until the end of the year because of this 1% prepayment penalty, which would amount to about $180,000. So we're going to be a little bit at the mercy of the market, but I'm confident with what we're doing. We can create these monies with a bond anticipation note now. We'll have the Far Best revenues start to kick in shortly after the first of the year. Everything's on schedule out there. I toured the plant Friday with the general manager, and if you ever get a chance to go through that, you know, before they get up and running, I'm sure you'll all get invited to do tours and so forth. I'd highly recommend it. It's quite a facility. So our job right now is to try to keep up and get everything the way we need it. One of the things that we have to tweak at the plant is because Far Best operates on a 5-day cycle. They don't operate on Saturday, Sunday. Well, obviously our wastewater plant can't shut down for Saturday and Sunday. We'd have a lot of problems. So we have to, this money is being used to give us some more storage capacity at the plant that will even out those flows and make it easier to manage and more efficient for the department. So any questions about all that? I'm sorry it's so long-winded, but it's kind of complicated.
I think it's very complicated.
Okay.
Any other discussion?
Although I understand you're not in the press that you are on the other one as far as the market goes, would it behoove us to go ahead and suspend rules and move on so you can, January 1,
well, we can still go ahead and move forward with the bond anticipation.
Yeah.
I think they have something else to say. Sorry, you know, lawyers, we can't keep our mouth shut.
We got one there. Yeah,
you're used to it, right? The only thing I would say, and Kirk has done an excellent job in explaining this, but he touched on the bond anticipation note. And so we plan, wrong Jennifer, on this one, and you'll see both ordinances authorize what we call BANs, bond anticipation notes. And that would be a short term. We could go out now to borrow the savings, the amount of the savings money through a bond anticipation note, and then once we get to the end of the year, issue the bonds, that note is paid off so that Kirk could go ahead and start on his improvements now. So we are kind of in the same situation because we would like to go forward with the bond anticipation.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, there you go.
I'll let you handle it.
Okay.
Well, again, very, very good goals and very necessary for to increase employment opportunities in the community. So unless there's something else, I'd call for the question on first reading.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Mrs. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, first reading of Ordinance 16-2013 passes by a vote of 7-0.
I would make a motion we suspend the rules.
I'll second that motion.
Got a motion by Councilman Chatton, second by Councilman Brink to suspend the rules for second and third reading.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Mrs. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And the suspension of rules for Ordinance 16-2013 passes by a vote of 7-0.
I move we have second reading of Ordinance 16-2013.
Second.
Got a motion by Councilman Chatton, second by President Rose for second reading of Ordinance 16-2013.
Ordinance number 16-2013, formal parts, bond, finance.
Call for the question.
We have to interject any language in there to suspend the rules in on the second read.
You just did.
You suspended the rules.
We did.
Right. Mm-hmm. The rules are suspended. Of your.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Mrs. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, second reading of Ordinance 16-2013 passes by a vote of 7-0.
I move we have third reading of Ordinance 16-2013.
Second.
Got a motion by Councilman Chatton, second by Councilman Brink for third reading of Ordinance 16-2013.
Ordinance number 16-2013.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Mrs. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
The third and final reading of Ordinance 16-2013 passes by a vote of 7-0.
Get busy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Save us some money.
Next up is Resolution 11-2013, SIDC Indiana Housing Grant.
Make a motion to read Resolution 11-2013.
I'll second that.
And a motion by President Rowe, second by Councilman Brink to read Resolution 11-2013.
Resolution number 11-2013, a resolution of the Indiana Housing and Community Development Authority Community Development PLAC, EBG, Disaster Relief 2 of Athens, Indiana, containing Section 1 and
2. Okay, we have Jenny Deerwester here with us.
City received a $400,000 grant from Indiana Housing and Community Development Authority for the purpose of owner-occupied housing rehabilitation in the city limits, and so this is one of the first parts in accepting the grant resolution for that.
That's questions? Great. $400,000, that's wonderful.
Sure is.
Very good.
There's no comments. I'll call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatten?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Mrs. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yep.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, Resolution 11-2013 passes with a vote of 7-0. Next is Resolution 12-2013, authorizing the submittal of the disaster application to the Indiana Office of Community and Rural Affairs.
Make a motion.
Says Matt Sword.
Make a motion to read Resolution 12-2013.
Second.
A motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Chatten. Read ordinance or Resolution 12-2013.
Resolution number 12-2013, resolution authorizing application submission. Resolution of the City of Vincennes, City Council of Knox County, authorizing the submittal of disaster application to the Indiana Office of Community and Rural Affairs, address related matters in Section 1 and 2.
And I assume you're going to speak on behalf.
So you don't look like Matt.
No, not Matt. I believe this is on your levy project. I'm substituting tonight. So I believe this is for your application submittal. You're committing $136,100 for that project.
From EDIT?
Yes.
And that is to receive close to $1.3 million in grant dollars. The $136,150 is our 10%. Just to clarify, we are committing $136,000 towards the $1.3 million grant that will go to help cover levy project.
Okay. Kurt, you have something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I did actually. I was admitted to law school. But. Okay, I didn't realize this was on the agenda, but that's okay. As you know, with the levy, we are working just about every angle we can to figure out, you know, okay, here's the items on the list. Here are items that we could fund by certain means. I just talked about the fact the River Road sewer project, we received a $500,000 grant on that. And we're working toward that conclusion. We received a commitment of $1 million from the RDC to do the levee wall rehab, primarily the levee wall rehab and some other projects down here in the RDC district around the National Park Service on both ends where the holes in the levee are. And this grant that you're here talking about tonight, asking for a reading, is we were counseled by several engineers that we should pursue, you know, as we were talking to them about these projects, and most of this work will be pipe stuff that you can't see. The RDC is doing a lot of things that you'll be able to see that's actually being done above ground. A lot of this work with this particular grant will be pipes and plumbing that's underneath Culbertson Boulevard, out in the VU campus area along the levee. Things that we've videoed inspected, and I always refer to that as a municipal colonoscopy we've conducted, and we know what the pipe conditions are, and we know what has to be fixed. You just can't go out there and see them. I mean, yeah, but we have so far been successful in talking with OCRA. Although this request is a little bit different than anybody else's. Of course, everything about this levy project is different than everyone else's. We feel like we have a good chance of reaping about $1.3 million in funds with a 10% match. And that's what the mayor has suggested, doing that with EDIT dollars. The other thing that's in the works is out of Second Niblack. The mayor has talked to us, and we're working on that interchange redesign, which, as that is done with railroad money, it will correct the deficiencies that we have out there with regards to the levee and the flood wall. So, knock on wood, so far, you know, Hunter and I haven't been over here with our hand out and saying, you know, we need you to do a bond issue, or we need you to, you know, come up with X amount of money to do levy projects. We're not saying we're out of the woods yet, but we're nicking away at it. And I feel a lot better now than I did 2 years ago about the prospects of making it through all this with all these various different funding sources without raising taxes on people to do that.
This pipe that you were talking about, Culbertson Boulevard, is that the main pipe you talked about some time ago that was like one of the main?
Well, there's a lot of important main pipes all throughout the
right.
levy system down through there.
This was the one that feeds off of the university, the university feeds into, that was like a big.
They're all connected, you know, from pump station to pump station. The first pump station is at the dead end of Perry Street. If you went out Perry Street, you can't go that way anymore, but
right.
we call it the Perry Street pump station. That there's work underneath the ground there that needs to be done. Then you move on down toward the university. You got the one there by Green Activity Center.
Correct.
You got one down there by the boat club. Mm-hmm. Those three, there's a lot of internal plumbing in those three stations that take water from the city when we either get a heavy rain and the river's up, or if we get a high river and we got groundwater, those pumps force that water into the river under pressure. Well, for that to happen properly, the pipes have to be in good condition. And a lot of these pipes, none of this stuff's been replaced since it was built in the early 1960s. So what this grant is going to help us is knock off. We've had to, you know, apply for specific projects, and I don't know the number. It could be as many as 20 different line items that we're pursuing for this $1.3 million
okay.
to fix with money from outside the community. The only money that comes from inside the community on this deal is the match money that you'd be spending out of edit funds.
Great. Thank you.
Any other discussion?
If not, I would entertain the question. I'd call for the question.
I don't think anything is entertaining.
No, especially when you're talking colonoscopies of the city.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Mrs. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yep.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, resolution 12-2013 passes by a vote of 7-0. And I do want to mention everything that Kirk said, working together. So far, we've come up with probably close to $3.5 million, if you count this grant that will go towards our levy. And trying to put a big dent into those projects. Next is appointment to the police merit system.
Oh.
So he usually has them all.
There is one in here for the attorney to sign as well, and he said the engineer, which is not the city.
Steely's your engineer, right?
Cannon.
Kevin Steely, is that your engineer?
On that project, yes.
Okay.
So he'll get his signature, but everything else is pretty much the mayor and the attorney.
Yeah.
And then I also have your grant documents for the housing grant as well, and we can get those up later too.
Okay. Okay, all right.
And I didn't know if I need to wait too. I also have a subrecipient agreement with SIDC for the housing grant to provide the admin services. I need just to wait.
Or you can bring it up here now and I'll get it along with the rest of these.
It is for $9,000. It is 20% of your grant plus an additional $10,000 for lead services. That will include SIDC procuring the services for lead services to go out and inspect the 20 homes, and then also inspection services too. We will procure an inspector to do all of that as well.
you very much.
Tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now we'll move on to F, appointment to police merit system.
This is our appointment to the Police Merit Commission, and Howard Hatcher is currently on there, and I'd like to make a motion to reappoint Howard to the Police Merit Commission.
I second that.
Does he know you're doing this?
Come to the meeting.
So that's what I'm saying. Does he know you're doing this?
That's how you get drafted. Is you know, you don't come to a meeting, you get appointed.
You get appointed.
Shame on him, right?
Okay, motion by Councilman Brown, second by Councilman Clark to reappoint Howard Hatcher to the police merit.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Mrs. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And that passes by a vote of 7-0. Moving on to claims.
Make a motion to pay claims in amount of $286,482.50.
Second.
Got a motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Sebring to pay the claims.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes, I thought I'd hesitate just for a breath there.
Dramatical effect.
Mrs. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And that passes by a vote of 7-0. Miscellaneous?
I'll make a motion that we have a special meeting next Monday, which would be July the 29th, to decide on this CCD.
What time would you like to have that?
6:00.
6:00.
Got a motion by President Rose for...
I think she just called you out.
Sounds good. 6:00, yes.
Okay, we got a second here.
Yes, I'll second that.
Motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Brink to set the next meeting with the CCD rate ordinance for Monday the 29th.
Special meeting for the CCD tax. 6:00 next Monday. Next Monday.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Mrs. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
28th, I think.
Okay, by a vote of 7-0, you'll have a special council meeting next Monday, the 29th at 6 p.m.
29th.
Nothing else? I need a motion to adjourn.
Is that okay with you, Ben?
Motion to adjourn.
We are adjourned.
Yeah, I'm not ready.
I'm guessing you got your copy of this.
I mean, he didn't have to, but...
This is...
Oh, it's not a...
Maybe they're only doing 1 year contract. They may work with somebody else.
To me, that looks like... Read it. And they, what they do, they go to the contract with the neighboring county. They drive the trucks to the neighboring county.
Kenny, the pass, they have their own landfill.
Who?
That county, Seymour, the county Seymour's in. They operate a landfill.
Right.
Luderman told me they're solid waste.
Oh, yeah, we didn't sign. Oh, get it going.
Hey,
don't run off. You got to sign your thing.
Well, it didn't have a name.
Boy, what is the fine for that?
I feel good tonight, Liz. I'm sorry.
All right. Sitting too long. Can't get up. Better.
No rallies. Ears are burning. Now he's just waking up, I think. He's coming out of a comatose.
I saw him yawn because I thought about sending a text message. Yeah, we weren't buds.
Got away from those nasty one-way streets.
Oh, well, I was used to those.
You have a wonderful bicycle trail over there. I've
they
been
sure
on it several
do.
Times.
The
I like
have
it.
Have you been on the B-line?
Yeah, the B-line.
Is that cool?
It's wonderful.
Very cool.
And even going out the other way out in the county, it's
yeah.
nice.
Yeah, and you know, it was a great place.